This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Darug Land, and this is the full story.
Hello.
In a cafe tucked away in an industrial area in Greenacre in Sydney's southwest, Karima Hazim and her mother, Savine Tabush, have set up a production line.
Welcome.
Wow, it smells incredible.
Oh, thank you. Well, this is our sort of makeshift Santa's workshop. We're making marmalade for our marmalade boxes.
When I join them, the kitchen is humming and things are in full swing.
Marmalade is a beautiful biscuit that is made all over the Levant. So anywhere from Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan, Egypt, everybody makes marmalade during Easter and Eid. And there is a very nostalgic and special experience that you have.
They're making and selling marmalade with the help of volunteers to raise money for recently arrived Palestinian families.
The need is never going to stop. We're constantly going to need to keep thinking of different things that we can do because there is absolutely very little, if anything, that's coming from the government.
Over recent months, just over 330 Palestinians have come to Australia fleeing Israel's siege of Gaza. With the visitor visas they've been issued, they're not entitled to work or access Medicare, leaving them reliant on the support and charity of family, friends and the community.
The day before the war, we were living a quiet and safe life, teaching our children, eating and drinking, and everything was in our reach. On the day of the war, my son was going to school and suddenly our whole world turned upside down.
Today, grief and resilience from Gaza to Greenacre. It's Thursday, the 4th of April.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We'll get you to start, Karima, by introducing who you are.
Okay, so I'm Karima. I run a sort of cooking experience called Sunday Kitchen with my beautiful mum, Savine. Basically, what we do is bring people together at a studio and recreate the essence of cooking at home. A lot of the experience revolves around storytelling and talking about the sort of Arab migrant experience, particularly for those living in the diaspora, and how we have maintained our connection to culture through food.
For Karima and her mother, Savine, both work and life revolve around food. And there is one item that is a staple on their kitchen counter this time of year.
So for those of you that don't know, marmalade is a semolina biscuit that is filled with either pistachio filling, a walnut filling or a date filling. What we basically do is once the dough has been rested, we roll it out into even sort of balls, about 30 grams in weight, and we hollow them out with our fingers and fill it with each of the fillings. most mahmoud recipes are heirloom recipes that are passed down, and everybody's got their own sort of tweak to things. You know, my mum uses ghee and she uses almond meal in her crumbs, so she's finessed all of the ingredients and made them super delicious. So I don't know.
I can see your mum looking over your shoulder. Do you just reveal a family secret?
Yeah, absolutely. How dare you say almond meal? You never mentioned that. That's what makes it crumbly and beautiful.
Well, you've now heard it, guys.
Oh my goodness.
I also think the oven's just got going because I can smell the mahmoud now.
Exactly. It's a sensory. It's not just the eating of it.
It's also done with a group of women all the time. You know, everyone shares a secret, everyone shares stories, and you forget about the labor work.
It's then up to you to close it up and put it into a wooden mold. Push it in so it does a nice sort of pattern outside the mahmoud. Tap it onto the table, and then the biscuit falls out, and they're lined on a tray and ready to bake. And dusted in a snowy white icing sugar casing. And that's it. And honestly, this is a little bit surreal to watch because we're very blessed to have many hands here to make these beautiful sweets that we're selling part of the Bake for Gaza initiative that we did.
So, Karima, what made you want to start Bake for Gaza?
We've grown up in a household where the situation in Palestine is something that we have spoken about openly as a family, and really sort of felt this guilt and grief for a very, very long time. I sort of had this idea to make something, do something. I mean, all this sort of guilt and grief just bottling up inside. And just my love language is food. The way that I communicate is food. I just felt like I needed a way to sort of channel all of that grief. So I reached out to my girlfriend, Linda, and said, hey, what do you think of if we sort of got together, mum and I and you, and we sort of orchestrated this mahmoud selling since it's Ramadan now and Easter is falling in the same month.
Karima then promoted the bake sale on social media while also calling out for volunteers.
I'll be honest, we anticipated, you know, just a few of our friends and family ordering some boxes, 20, 50. We posted, and the following night we woke up to 100 boxes ordered. So our operation went from my kitchen at home to the cafe in Greenacre, which has been very kindly donated to us for the next 2 weeks so that we can sort of grow our production. We've been baking through the night, we've been baking on the weekend, and we're back here again baking with about 15 people, half of which I've never met before. I've just met through the orders that they've made because they want to do whatever they can to support the people that have arrived here from Gaza, which is where the money is going to, 100% of the profits.
Karima has been closely following the news out of Gaza. Over the last 180 days, Israeli attacks have killed more than 32,000 Palestinians, the majority women and children. The United Nations and other aid agencies say that Gaza is facing an imminent and man-made famine.
I mean, this has changed the way that I even see food, the way that I sort of, just understand the experience of war as a first-generation Lebanese. I've only heard these stories from my mum, my grandmother, the aunties in our family, the uncles, the grandfathers. So we're watching it live now. We're watching it in such an intimate way, like we're lying in bed. You've got your phone with you in your bed. That's a really personal space to be watching a collective community that you don't know them, but you are them. We are them. And I refuse to accept it as normal.
Huddled around the cafe kitchen are more than a dozen women working away, squeezing in this volunteering work in between their full-time jobs and the school run.
How does it feel to be here making mahmoud with a collective of other women?
I've been watching what is happening unfolding in Gaza, and it's really caused a sense of despair and despondency because I really feel powerless. I've written letters, made all the phone calls, donated where I could, but nothing feels like enough. So I came today to Bake for Gaza because it felt like a way of showing my solidarity and supporting people in my community to support others who are suffering with something that is so horrible and unimaginable.
I think from a very basic point of view, it's just to feel with other humans that are not as fortunate as we are. If we can't feel with other humans and help other humans where when we can and where we can, then what are we here for? And I know it's what we're doing is very minuscule, but it's something and it makes us feel like we can help.
It's my way of being able to contribute some small piece of help to the horrifying things that we're seeing happening overseas in Gaza, and not just that, but then the very few amount of people that have been lucky enough to actually escape that and come to Australia and rebuild their life here.
You know, I've met also someone from Gaza this morning too, and hearing how the experience has been for her. So it's bringing everyone together. It's nice to see that many hands make light work.
Next, a Palestinian mother's escape from war.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
What's your favourite flavour, Mama? This one. The walnut?
While watching the ma'amoul being made, I also met Layla, whose name we've changed for privacy. She's a mother of three from Gaza, who arrived in Sydney in January after enduring 3 months living under bombardment.
Hi, Anna, it's me, Layla.
My name is Layla. I've come from Gaza a few months ago. I'm very grateful to be here. Australia has been beautiful to me. The people of Australia have been beautiful to me. And we have peace and tranquility to those in Gaza.
You came to Australia in January, which means that you were in Gaza for a long time. How hard was that period for you?
It was a very tough period for us and for all the Palestinian people. There was no food to eat or healthy water to drink. There was no stability as the bombing continued round the clock 24 hours a day without stopping. Alhamdulillah. And life was very difficult. Nothing was easy.
And can you tell me a little bit about life in Gaza before all of this?
Life in Gaza is
Life in Gaza is very beautiful. We lived and were brought up there. Everything was beautiful. We were living in our homes, happy, and we were surrounded by our family. At least if you feel bored in Gaza, you can go to the beach. It's very beautiful over there. There are many beautiful places in Gaza. Alhamdulillah, we were very happy.
Can you tell me about your decision to leave Gaza and how that period was for you trying to get out?
We didn't decide to leave Gaza, but rather we were forced to do so by the circumstances. It was beyond our will. And if there was no war, we would have never left Gaza. Every time I tell this story, I remember the pain we experienced in Gaza. It's in our memory, and we always feel the same pain that we used to feel.
How are your children doing here in Australia?
My children feel that we have come to a life of safety that is completely different from their life in Gaza, but they are still a little affected because the events they experienced in their country were not easy. I can only say that I am an adult and I can handle it, but it is very difficult for children. No one would accept to live such a life. The children of Gaza were not born to die or suffer, but rather were born to live a normal life like any other child in the world. Over there in Gaza, the children were and are still deprived, and no one gives them any care, and we are waiting for Allah's mercy.
And how are you feeling here in Australia? A lot has changed in a very short time. How are you feeling?
Alhamdulillah, we feel much better in Australia. And the most important thing is that the Australian people are very kind, like my friend Linda. I have never felt like a stranger in Australia. We only miss our family and having them near. Alhamdulillah, when we arrived in Australia, they provided us with treatment, and there were many doctors who stood with us and treated us without any compensation. There were many philanthropists. We did not suffer from this aspect.
Do you feel that you have some certainty for the next period in your life?
Inshallah, I feel that better days await us, and I hope that my children will have a good future. We arrived in Australia, and my qualifications are not recognized, but my focus now is on our children to teach them and help them succeed in Australia.
Do you fear that you will never be able to go back to Gaza?
There is no way to return to Gaza, as we lost our homes. And we learned from the news that the Israelis have destroyed everything and they haven't left anything to return for.
We've all seen in pictures on the news and on our phones that a lot of people have turned to faith, are praying. How important is faith for you at this time, particularly during Ramadan?
Our relationship with our Lord is always strong, and throughout our life we entrust our affairs to Allah, alhamdulillah. He is the one who chooses on our behalf, not us. And what we encountered in the war strengthened our hearts.
How is Ramadan this year for you, and how is it different from previous years?
Of course, Ramadan is very different this year because in Gaza, we used to have family gatherings. It is true that my children are here with me, but we cannot enjoy food while the people of Gaza are suffering from starvation and thirst. We cannot rejoice in Ramadan and decorate our homes while our people in Gaza are suffering.
Is there anything that you would like from the Australian government?
Me? I only want to live a safe and stable life in Australia here with my children, away from discomfort and stress. We have been through a lot in Gaza. Here we just want to live safely.
And just finally, tell me why you're here today.
I'm here because I heard that they would want to help the people of Gaza. And since I am Palestinian, I cannot remain idle at home with my hands crossed. Rather, I want to help, do charitable work and support them. Alhamdulillah, I want to put my hands to work.
This is what 1,000 Mahmoud looks like, people.
After our interview, Layla rejoins Karima and the other volunteers who've been baking for 5 hours now. You mentioned, Karima, that it's Ramadan at the moment, but there is a sober feeling more broadly throughout, I guess, the Arab diaspora in Australia. How are you feeling at this time? How does this feel different to other periods in previous years gone by?
I'll be honest with you, there is absolutely no sense of joy and celebration whatsoever. And it is felt by every single person in there and anybody who has sort of come into contact through what we've been doing for the past week and a half. What I've seen in the last 5 months, what technology has given us access to, the intimacy of the way the information has been shared, and looking at photos of this genocide and these children and these mothers and fathers and their lives just completely ruined. These people look like me. They look like my children. I mean, I went through a first month where I couldn't walk into the room when my kids were sleeping because when their eyes are closed, they look like the children that have been killed. They look exactly like them because I have little Arab girls and they look like all of the videos on social media of those little girls wrapped in shrouds, their faces, their beautiful porcelain brown faces with their long lashes, eyes closed. And I would say to my husband, you need to go and check on the girls if they're asleep because I can't see them with their eyes closed. They look like those children. I will never be the same again. And how could I be the same?
Tell me about the families that will receive some of the funds raised through this initiative.
I think this was more about giving the Gazans that have arrived a sense of autonomy over how they want to spend the money that they need. I mean, this has been going on for 5 months. Everybody's exhausted their own resources. I personally have exhausted my own resources, which is why I realised, OK, I need to do something a little bit bigger.
Community organisations say their resources are stretched too, and there are growing calls for the federal government to grant Palestinians the same visa rights as was given to Ukrainians after Russia's invasion. At the time, the government introduced a special 3-year humanitarian visa that allowed Ukrainians to work, study and access Medicare.
It's incredible that they're even here. Most of them have come with the clothes on their backs and whatever they were able to sort of scramble and bring with them. Put the necessities aside, their mental health, like how they've even managed to wake up every day is beyond me. It's profound. It's intergenerational trauma, you know, and acknowledging the fact that the families that have arrived here, the bare minimum we could do is provide safety, security, housing, clothing, food, travel, aid, healthcare, mental healthcare. I mean, I'm dreaming here and I know that. And until this does happen, if it happens, when it happens, we need to keep going as a collective community, which in fact is no longer only the Arab community. Because for the past, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years that the majority of the Arabs have been in Sydney, have been in Australia, we have only relied on one another. We have only relied on the community to bring any level of aid and support. But now it is no longer only us. It is everybody that is getting together. And I mean, this bake sale proves it. The protest proves it. You look at the names. It's Jane, it's Jennifer, it's Katie, it's Sophie. It's not just, you know, when those orders were coming through.
It's not just Karima and
Noor. No, and you know what I mean. As soon as this is over, we've already said, what are we going to do next? And that's just going to be our mantra. You done, Lauren?
I'm done, girl. What a day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
That was Karima Hazim from Sunday Kitchen. Special thanks to Linda Tabar and Christelle Basile for their translation help. That's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Noor Haidar, and Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Camilla Hannan. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also leave a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.